I want you to turn with me to 2 Peter and chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And we want to read from verse 10. It says, "The day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they also do the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." I want that we look this morning at verse 14. We know that what Peter speaks about is a day in history that will come, and we are nearer to it than we really believe. Just like in the days of Noah, God gave them 120 years, and Noah in those years built the ark and saved his family. But nobody believed what God was going to do, that he was going to judge the world and destroy the world by water. And nobody believes, just like Peter says, that there'll be scoffers. And it says there in the verse before what we read in verse 8, "Do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." And that's the only reason that God waits. Said, regard the patience of the Lord to be salvation. A day is coming when God will judge this world and destroy this world by fire. Some 100 years ago, perhaps, we wouldn't believe that something like this was possible. But in this nuclear age that we live in, with all the atomic bombs there are in the world and all the nuclear weapons, we know how possible this is. And that day is not far off, my brothers and sisters. But I'm not wanting to talk about that. I want to talk about what the Lord wants us. It says there in verse 14, "Therefore, beloved," it's you and me, "since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace." To be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. Not in unrest and not in restlessness, but to be found by him in peace. In the Amplified Bible it says, "Beloved, since you are expecting these things, be eager to be found by him at his coming without spot or blemish and at peace, in serene confidence, free from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts." You go to the cemetery and you see on many of the graves, R.I.P. Rest in peace, or resting in peace. Jesus is not coming to the cemetery. And what Peter is speaking about there, he's not thinking about the cemetery, but what is written on those gravestones should be written on your life and mine. Resting in peace. Don't wait till you put into a box 6x2 for those words to be put on your gravestone or on your coffin. But today, that it can be said of you and me that we rest in peace. And it says there, be diligent that since you look for these things, to be found by Him in peace. Jesus will come not to the cemetery, and He's not talking about the cemetery, that He'll come in the clouds, in the air. And it says that you and I should be found by Him in peace. And that's what I want that we think about this morning. Because Jesus has left us with a legacy. I do not know how much we think about it. He has left you and me. He has left us, His people, with a legacy. And nobody could leave the legacy that Jesus has left except Him and Him alone. And we know what that legacy is. I want you to turn with me to John 14 in verse 27. And Jesus said here, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. And again in John 16:33, Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. In me you may have peace. And Jesus has left us with a legacy, a peace that this world cannot give us. A peace that is not fragile, but a peace that is so permanent that it can be truly said, like I was saying a little while ago, R.I.P. He is resting in peace, or she is resting in peace. No matter what happens. In the world we'll have tribulation, but Jesus said, take courage, I've overcome the world. We'll have trials, we'll have tribulation, we'll go through different circumstances and situations, but it should be always said of us, we are in peace. And that if He comes today, if He comes tonight, He will find you and me in peace. What does it mean to be found by Him in peace? In what we just read in the Amplified Bible, John 16:33, it says, I've told you these things, listen to this, so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you will have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration, but be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. And now listen to this. This is the Amplified Bible. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Praise the Lord. I have deprived the world, Jesus is speaking here of the world, of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. The world cannot harm you and me. And nobody can harm you and me, says he who messes with us, sticks his finger in God's eye. That's how much we mean to Him. That's how precious we are to mean. So I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be fearful. I can be at peace. Before His death and resurrection, when Jesus walked with His disciples, many times He said to them, don't be afraid, do not fear. But after His resurrection, do you notice that? He greeted them, and every time He greeted them, He says, peace be unto you, John 20, after He rose from the dead. Peace be unto you. He stood in their midst. And the disciples rejoiced, it says, when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I also send you." That's the legacy He has left with us. I don't have to be afraid. If I'm in peace, I will never be afraid. I will never panic. I will never, whatever happens, I will always be in peace. Because that's what He's left you and me with, my brothers and sisters. That's a legacy much greater, much better than any legacy even the richest man in this world could leave a person. That He has left us with His peace. The peace which the world cannot take from us. In Revelation in chapter 6 and verse 4 we read of the rider on the red horse going out. And it says this, "It was granted him to take peace from the earth, and that men would slay one another, and a great sword was given him." We are in those days. Peace is being taken from the earth, so much of violence, no value for life. It says it was granted him. I want you to notice that many things, it was granted, he had to get permission. Satan had to get permission to sift Peter. And so this rider on the red horse, and that's the spirit of the times we live in. Some people refer to communism, but it's more than that. It was granted him to take peace from the earth, and that men should slay one another. A great sword was given him. But we, if we are God's people, we can be in peace. You know the angels announced, when they announced the birth of Jesus, and we sing carols, but those carols can be very deceptive. Peace on earth, goodwill among men. But I want you to look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 14. Some of these Christmas carols can lead you astray. And then the angels announced at the birth of Jesus, He spoke there. Not everybody, not peace for everybody on the earth. Certain people. Luke chapter 2. And then angels, it says there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace," not among all men, I want you to read that carefully, "and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased." When you sing those Christmas carols, don't be led astray. Jesus said, "I have not come to bring peace on the earth. I come to bring a sword. But peace on the earth among men with whom He is well pleased." Remember that. I will have peace if God is pleased with my life. And I do not have to fear. Paul warns of a false peace in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5 and verses 1 to 11. We don't have time to look at it. But it says, while they are saying peace and safety, there will suddenly be destruction. And he says, you're not of the night, you're of the day. So be sober, be alert. In Daniel in chapter 11 verse 21, it speaks of the Antichrist who will come in a time of tranquility. A time when everybody is saying peace. Now we have peace. That's the time when the Antichrist will manifest himself. He'll come in a time of great tranquility and seize the kingdom by intrigue. And Jesus, that's not the peace that Jesus leaves. That's a false peace where the Antichrist will take over, will manifest himself. The peace of Jesus is not that peace. It's not fragile, it's not temporary. It's a legacy that He has left you and me, which the world cannot give, my brothers and sisters. I want to ask us this morning to ask ourselves, are you in peace? If He comes right now, will He find you and me in peace? The Holy Spirit says to Peter, therefore be diligent to be found by him in peace. Whatever it is that happened the last week, whatever it is that you're anxious about or you're concerned about, your future, your children, maybe a health problem, whatever it is, that I can be in peace. Peace which the world cannot give. I am resting in peace. A hope that can be written over your life and mine. Don't wait for the grave for that. That's what we need. First of all, we need to be at peace with God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. We all know that word very well. But that's where we begin. If I'm to be in peace, I must begin where I must begin. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, it says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where I begin. I cannot jump the gun. This is not Norman Vincent Peale positive thinking. I think positively. That's not what the Holy Spirit is speaking about. I need to be justified by faith. I have peace with God. Have you and I begun there? I'm not thinking of a day and a date, but today. Am I living in that place where God looks at you and me just as if we had never sinned, because one day, like it says there, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand and we exult in the hope of the glory of God. That's where we begin. We have made peace with God. There was a day in my life I acknowledged I was a sinner and I repented of my sins. Whether you lived a good life or a bad life, that we come to that place that we make peace with God. It's more difficult for people who live a good life, who have a lot of good works to show, to come to that place where they see they need to be justified by faith. They need to make peace with God. And I've come across people who think there's nothing wrong. Why should God be displeased with me? I've lived a good life. I've not harmed anybody. And never forget, I've said that before, but that lady just refused to believe that God will class her with all the wickedest people in this city, with the worst prostitute and the thief and the murderer. How could God do that? Many years ago, that was 40 years ago, perhaps. And she went into a Christless eternity because she did not accept, and I've seen many others also, that they needed to repent. They needed to make peace with God. And for Sand, one week later, I believe she just went into a Christless eternity, even though she boasted of going to Jerusalem, going on a tour of the Holy Land and all that, brought back. I still have the picture she gave me of Jerusalem. But I don't think she's there in the New Jerusalem, because she didn't make peace with God. And if there's anyone sitting here this morning, you have not made peace with God, no matter what your condition is, no matter how badly you've messed up, that you can make peace with God, you can be justified by faith, you can begin here. And there's a way, we see, that we can go to be found, what we have read in Peter, to be found in peace. And Jesus has made peace through the blood of His cross, it says in Colossians 1:20. It's through the blood of His cross that He has made peace. The blood that has washed away all our past sin and brought us into right standing with God. And that's where you and I must begin. The second thing is, we have to be at peace with one another. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Peace with God first, and then peace with one another. This is equally important. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14. It says there, excuse me. We can read from verse 13. Or maybe a little earlier, verse 12. Remember that you were, that's you and me, at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. Do you see that? I should not just boast and think I made peace with God and I live a life, you know, and I don't mess around with anybody else. I mind my own business. I look after my own affairs. No, we have to do with each other as we live in this world. And it's important that we live in peace with one another. And the dividing wall has been broken down. I don't have to break it down, and not like that song. You know, many of these songs are so deceptive. We break down dividing walls. We break down dividing walls. When we sing that song, it's too late, brother. Those walls have been broken 2,000 years ago. We are not called to break down any dividing walls. It's broken. Jew and Gentile can become one. Malayali and Anglo-Indians, Telugus and Tamil and Kannada people can become one in Christ. Because the walls have been broken down. There's no Jew or Gentile. There's no Malayali or Anglo-Indian. No. Kannadigar or Telugu or Tamilian or whatever you call it. We are one in Christ. British or American, we are one in Christ. The walls have been broken down. But that's not all. But we are part of a local church. It's okay that we, you know, we don't have anything against those who are living in Australia. We don't have anything against those who are living in Tamil Nadu in the churches there, but what about with one another? Are there walls between each other? I want to say those walls have been broken down. We need to get in, it says there, I want you to look further down there in Ephesians in chapter 4. It says there, he says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling, verse 1, with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent. Listen to this again. Being diligent. This word, diligent. You know, that means I have to take it seriously. To preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I want to read that to you from the Message Bible. It says here, I want you to get out there and walk, better yet run, on the road God called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off doing some path, going down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love. And listen to this, we've heard it before. Alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. You got it? Alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. Oh, for brothers and sisters in CFC like that. Many are alert at noticing differences. Oh yeah, they have a sharp eye for noticing differences, but they're not so quick in mending fences. May God raise up such ones, then we can be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Because the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, it says, but peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And Paul tells us in Romans 14, we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. So it's important that we are at peace with each other. There are no dividing walls. That only the walls are broken down with those who speak your language, or who have your culture, or your intelligence. My brother, you're missing the bus. My sister, you're missing the bus. Get in quickly. Be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Pursue after peace, it says, with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Have you noticed that verse in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14? This is not the first time we are hearing it in this church, but how seriously have we taken it? Pursue after peace with all men and the sanctification, listen to this, without which no one will see the Lord. Do you take that seriously? Do I take it seriously? That if I don't pursue after peace with all men, much more the brothers and sisters, I will not see the Lord. Even if I come to all the meetings of the church, even if I sacrifice, even if I serve the church, even if I've been with the church for 38 years, if I'm not pursuing after peace, I will not see the Lord. Peace and sanctification. My dear brothers and sisters, we are living in days when the devil seeks to bring division. We're living in days when he seeks to bring strife and conflict into the church. He's never succeeded for 38 years, praise God. We're living in days when he seeks to bring in strife and division between the elders. He's never succeeded. Here in CFC Bangalore, we praise God for that. But how is it with you? How is it with you? You say, I have nothing in my heart, you know. I said to somebody, that's dangerous, you have nothing in your heart. You've got room there for seven demons to come in. Fill your heart. Let the Spirit of God pour into your heart. Romans 5:5, the love of God. You must not keep your heart empty. It's bad to say, I have nothing in my heart. I have nothing against that person. I have nothing in my heart. No. You'll be worse than you were before. Let the Spirit of God pour into your heart the love of God. Whoever it is, relative or family member or somebody in the office who's creating problems for you, my dear brother and sister, be at peace. I was reading something about Tozer about worship, and he says if you don't worship God 7 days in the week, our Sunday worship is empty. If I'm not worshiping God all through the week, Monday to Saturday, then when I come, it's only an empty ritual. If I can't go to office tomorrow, he says, you know, he quotes that word, Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 2, I think it is. The Lord is in His holy temple, let all the earth be silent before Him. He says, if you can't go to your office tomorrow morning and say, the Lord is in my office, let all the world be silent before Him. Then he says, you thought you worshiped God on Sunday, you didn't. To see that we are in peace, my brothers and sisters, that nobody can move me, get me to relocate and get me to shift. You may shift house, but don't shift out of peace. Don't relocate out of peace and allow turmoil and confusion and unrest to come into your heart, whatever it is. Pursue after peace with all men. I want to say this perhaps to some of you where it is not good. And you can justify yourself. Pursue after peace with all men, otherwise you will not see the Lord. My dear brother and sister, the walls have been broken down. Let's be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and bond of peace. The third thing is that we have to be at peace with ourselves. In every situation, in every circumstance, irrespective of causes, which may come from ourselves or by others, we are to be at peace with ourselves. It says that, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16, may the Lord of peace Himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. May the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance, not some circumstances, in every circumstance. In Colossians in chapter 3 verse 5 it says, let the peace of Christ act as a referee in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Like the referee. You've been watching these football matches. The referee blows the whistle. The game has to stop. A foul has been committed. And sometimes, you know, they get angry with the referee. And the referee is the peace of Christ in your heart and mind. And when the referee blows the whistle, I have to stop. What foul have I committed? Saw that the other day. And the Lord convicted me, and I can justify myself that it was right to get upset with somebody who didn't do their job. And the Lord convicted me and said, now you go and apologize. And even though it's your maid servant, the referee blew the whistle. I could say, yeah, she's supposed to do her job. And carry on playing the game. The Lord said, no, humble yourself and apologize. We have to do that, my brothers and sisters. But some of us, the game is going on. The referee has blown the whistle many, many times and even shown a yellow card. But we want to go on playing. We will not be found by peace when Jesus comes. Let's be at peace with ourselves, within our home, the members of our home, those who work for us, those who work under us in our office. May the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. In Philippians chapter 4, I want you to look at another word, verses 4 to 7, it says, rejoice. We had Brother Newton say that this morning, Philippians in chapter 4. He never tires to encourage us to rejoice. Philippians in chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit or considerate spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now comes this verse that we can have written up in our homes and before us, but fulfill the conditions there from verse 4 onwards. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let your considerate spirit be known to all men, to be considerate for others. That if you keep others waiting, if you're late, that you humble yourself and apologize, not get up like, you know, not feel that you're some great king. I've had to do that many times. Because late for an appointment. Humble mind, let your considerate spirit be known to all men. Somebody has taken the trouble to come on time. The choir directors, the choir leaders come on time for the practice, but the choir members send messages at 6:24 and 6:33, 6:35, say, I'm sorry, I can't be at choir practice today. And that poor brother who has a family makes it a point to come here on time. My dear brother and sister, I don't want to take any of you on a guilt trip. But something's wrong. Let your considerate spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. You could try to give that information earlier, perhaps. There's some emergency. I'm not talking about that. There may be an emergency. But you have to wait for the last minute. And normally when I can't keep an appointment and I know I won't be able to keep it, I call up and say, I'm sorry, I'm running late. That is missing, that is disappearing from our young people because we are so big. I earn so much. I'm so big. I'm so good. They need me in the church. They can't do without me. You're mistaken, my dear brother and sister, wherever you are. Let your considerate spirit be made known to all men. The Lord is near, and be anxious for nothing. You'll find your prayers will be heard in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Make your requests to God, and the peace of God, that's it, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Peace with God, peace between ourselves with one another, and peace within us, peace in ourselves. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart and mind. Act as a referee. And when I've committed a foul, stop, humble myself, and then carry on playing. May God give us grace for that. And I want to share with you, finally, four things that the God of peace promises to do in your life and mine. You know, it's not just that we have made peace with God, we have peace with one another, and we have peace within ourselves. Four promises God gives us if we are in peace. Number one, in Romans 15, verse 33. It comes many times. Romans 15, 33, Philippians 4, 9. The God of peace shall be with you. Now the God of peace be with you all, said Paul to the church in Rome. The God of peace will always be with us. He will not leave us. Our home will be a home of peace. You and I can be a man of peace, brothers, sisters. You can be a woman of peace because the God of peace is with you. That is God's promise, that He will always be with us. And our homes will be an island of peace. And we can, Jesus said that. You go to a home, if there's a man of peace there, you can go and stay there. If not, He says, their peace will return to you. Go away, go somewhere else. What a need there is today among God's people to be men and women of peace. If we fulfill the conditions that we are peace with God, peace with one another, and peace within ourselves, the God of peace will be with you and me always, 24/7. No matter what happens, there can be crises, there can be difficulties, there can be problems, there can be something that can really throw you off guard, but the God of peace will not leave you. And the second thing that He does for us, in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, verse 23, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely. The God of peace sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He who called you, who will also bring it to pass. He will sanctify us entirely. That means, that word sanctification means separate us for Himself. Sanctify us entirely. Spirit, soul and body will be preserved blameless. I don't have to struggle and strive. The God of peace will do that for me if I am in peace. Entirely, spirit, soul and body will be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And lest we missed it, it's as faithful as He who called you, who will also bring it to pass. Can I hear an amen to that? You believe that? I believe it with all my heart. He will preserve me entirely, spirit, soul and body. The God of peace will do it. Because I decided to be a man of peace. I decided that I want Him to find me in peace when He comes. R.I.P. Not in the cemetery, but alive, ready to meet Him in the air, ready to meet Him in the clouds. My goal is not the grave, but the sky. May God help us. Third thing I want you to see that He promised to do. Hebrews chapter 13, 20 and 21, it says, now may the God of peace, there again, may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord. It was the God of peace that raised Jesus from the dead. I like that. The God of peace. Not a God of war, not a mighty God. You can put some other adjective, but the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do His will. He will equip you and me in every good thing to do His will. I like that. I don't have to struggle. Working in us. Doesn't stop there. Working in us that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. And He who has begun a good work in you will complete it, will perfect it. He will do it. The God of peace has promised that He will equip us in every good thing to do His will. He will work in us that which is pleasing in His sight. In the Amplified it says there, He will strengthen, complete, perfect, and make you what you ought to be, and equip you with everything good that you may carry out His will, while He Himself works in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ the Messiah, to whom be the glory forever and ever, to the ages of the ages. Amen. So be it. That's what the God of peace will do. That's His promise, my brothers and sisters. He'll make us perfect, it says in the Authorized Version, in every good work to do His will. And fourthly and lastly, most wonderfully, Romans 16 verse 9, my favorite word. I hope that it's true in your life. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Hallelujah. The God of peace. He says there, let's read it in context. We can take a promise out of context. Verses 19 and 20. For the report of your obedience has reached to all. Therefore I am rejoicing over you. But this is the conditions. Obedience. And I want you to be wise in what is good and innocent in what is evil. And when it comes to doing evil and doing harm, I'm like a baby. That's what it means. That's how we are to be. I'm not scheming and planning on my bed. How will I get even with this person? She said something to me. Now I've got to say something back. Oh, brothers, and you know, this, why was I picked out and you are all the time in turmoil? Wise in what is good and innocent in what is evil. When it comes to evil, when it comes to retaliation, when it comes to retort, I'm like a baby. A baby, you pinch it, you can do anything to it, it will not retaliate. That's what it means. Babes, when it comes to evil, I'm like a baby. The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. And the grace of the Lord Jesus will be with us. This is Satan's place, my brothers and sisters. Not on top of your head and mine. Not behind us, not in front of us. Under our feet. The promise right in the very beginning about Jesus, He will crush the serpent's head. You will bruise His head. He may bruise your heel. Jesus has crushed the serpent's head on the cross of Calvary. We have to stand on Him. You know, like those five kings, the last word, I can't help but read it. It's so beautiful. Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10. In verse 24. This is it. This is a picture. I like it. You know, this is where the devil has to be. You know, these five kings who fled and went and hid in a cave, and Joshua pursued them. And Joshua said, verse 22, open the mouth of the cave. Bring these five kings out to me from the cave. They did so. Brought these five kings out to him from the cave. And all those kings, their names are there. And then he said to the chiefs of the men of war who had gone with him, come, come near, put your feet on the neck of these kings. So they came near and put their feet on their necks. And then Joshua said to them, do not fear or be dismayed. Be strong and courageous, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies with whom you fight. And so Joshua struck them and put them to death. The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. If I'm wise in what is good, when it comes to evil, I'm a baby. The God of peace, I can put my foot on Satan. That's where he is. That's your place, devil. That's your place, Satan, under my feet. Jesus crushed your head on the cross of Calvary. I will crush you under my feet. That's our inheritance. That's the legacy Jesus has left us, my brothers and sisters. I've not just said to you some pie in the sky things. This is God's word. That's the legacy that He has left. The peace I give you is the peace that this world cannot give. Oh, may God help us that He will fulfill His promises. What He will do as a God of peace in our lives. What a life He has called us to. And all the things that trouble us that come from our flesh, that we can put our feet, whatever it is. You have a problem with pornography, you have a problem with sexual lust, you have a problem with your bad temper, with anger. You can put your feet. No matter how many times you've fallen, you put your feet, I'm not going to be defeated. Thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies. And our enemies are what comes from our flesh. The God of peace will do it for us. Let's bow our heads. We bless you, Lord Jesus. We bless you, you're in our midst as the God of peace, the Prince of Peace. We want to be diligent so that when you find us, when you come, that we are in peace, spotless and blameless. Thank you, you will do it in our lives, and we want to surrender ourselves to you. We want to be men and women of peace in a world that's full of turmoil, hatred, and confusion. Thank you for the peace of God which passes all understanding, that guards and keeps our hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. And I pray, Lord, for anyone here who's in turmoil, let peace reign in their hearts right from now. Amen.
After Jesus rose again from the dead, He said three words again and again. We read that in John chapter 20. John 20 verse 19. And the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, and the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And again verse 21. Verse 20 says, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. And again in verse 26. And after 8 days again, His disciples were with Him, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, and doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. And perhaps the Lord will, maybe the Lord wants to say to many of us this morning, why is there so much unrest in your life? Why is your heart troubled? Let not your heart be troubled. Peace be unto you. You know, brothers and sisters, when we repent of our sins and ask Jesus to cleanse us, and when we invite Him as a Savior, all the guilt of the past is removed, and then we have peace. We heard this morning, we are justified by faith through peace. And after that, we learn to walk in peace, live in peace, move in peace, and grow in peace, and the peace of God, if you can say, abounds in our lives. And that's how the kingdom of God increases. See, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace and joy. It's amazing, human beings, how restless they can be. And one mark of a Christian is, who's walking with the Lord, there's constant rest, quietness, he's not disturbed. And we want people like that in the church. Those who are walking with the Lord, they are at rest. I like people who are at rest. Sometimes you can see people who are so much unrest, disturbed about this and that. And especially we see in the time of wedding, so many people are disturbed about all petty things, which has no value at all. Who's bothered about your dress and decoration and so many other things? But that's what people are bothered and disturbed about. The car. Oh, the car did not come in time. So many other silly things like that. It's difficult to find the husband and wife who are getting married, a boy and a girl who are getting married, who are at rest in the Lord. That's what I tell the couples, be at rest, brother. Let anything happen, be at rest. Rest in the Lord. And after you get married, in the home so many things happen, it's difficult to find husbands and wives who are at rest in the Lord. Despite all the wonderful doctrine, sometimes you find, there's so much of unrest. And it's good to ask, why is there unrest? Why is my soul troubled? Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Is your heart troubled this morning, brothers and sisters? You need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I want your peace, Lord, to sanctify me. Sanctification is not some high-sounding doctrine that we preach. One mark of sanctification is there is peace. Last week I spoke about being crucified. The mark of a crucified man is he's at rest. Nothing disturbs him. And imagine living like that every day. When you go to office, you live in rest. When you come home, there's rest. And in the church, when you mingle with the brothers and sisters, there's rest. And I believe we must have a testimony that nobody can get us out of peace or into unrest. It's possible, brothers and sisters. We're not talking of some unrealistic thing. God works in us. We heard this morning in Hebrews 12, 14. Pursue after peace. Can you say in your life that that's what you're pursuing? How many of you brothers and sisters can say, this is what I'm pursuing? Especially the wives. Sisters, can you say that? I'm pursuing after peace. My husband can't get me into unrest. And my children can't get me into unrest. Pursue after peace and sanctification. We speak about things that are down to earth, not some unrealistic thing. If you are pursuing after sanctification and peace, can you say, God's been good to me? I value peace. I treasure peace. Both in the office and at home. It's such a good testimony to have in the office that nobody can get into quarrel with you. I have all of you sisters. Can you say that? That your servant can't get into a quarrel with you? It's amazing how much the servant can trouble you. So many people are disturbed by the servants or your partners. Whoever it is. Can you say, God's done a work in me, is doing a work in me. I'm at rest. Whether I lose things or not, things don't go as per my plan. Let anything happen, but nothing will move me out of rest. Then we can say you're growing in the Lord. Then we can say you're being sanctified. And I believe God wants to bring us to such a place as we heard, that Satan is crushed under our feet, not when we get to heaven, here on earth. While I'm alive, Satan's power must be crushed in my life. In the kingdom of God, there's rest. And wherever there's an activity of Satan, there's always restlessness. You can find out people who are controlled by the devil. They're all restless. And we should be able to say, no, you can do what you like, but God's brought me to rest. See, there remains a rest for the people of God. And the moment there's unrest, we got to stop and say, Lord, somewhere I fail. And Lord, I want to repent and come back to you, Lord. Restore my peace. And you don't need to wait for the breaking of bread, brothers and sisters. The moment the peace is gone, immediately stop. Say, Lord, was there some wrong attitude against somebody? Maybe towards the boss, maybe towards the partner, maybe towards the children. And immediately set things right. And say, Lord, restore my peace. And come to rest in God. And isn't it good to come to the meeting like that? In rest. I encourage everybody to come in time. Come on time to the meeting. But supposing, let's say, you're one of those wonderful brothers who always stick to your time. But something happens and you're not able to be on time. Still come and rest, brothers and sisters. Even if you are 3 minutes late, never mind. We are not here to enter into any record that you are one of those brothers who always come on time. Never mind. Despite your best efforts, you couldn't make it on time for the meeting. You were late by few minutes. But come in peace. Don't come with unrest. Shouting at your wife, you're always late. You don't keep things ready. I want to go to the meeting on time. No. Yeah, we do seek to come on time. That's a good habit. But more than coming on time is to be at rest. Come in peace. Husbands and wives, it's a wonderful habit. Come in peace to the meeting. Come and bless the church with peace. And like we heard this morning, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. I'm never tired of speaking on that verse. And it says here, to the which you are called in one body. You know what's the calling? To be at rest. Continually at rest. Even, just imagine, supposing the Lord were to take one of your loved ones home. I know there's grief in our heart when the loved ones are gone from us. Can you say, still Lord, your peace will guard my heart. Even in the times of grief. That's why the Bible says, don't sorrow like the heathen. Heathen, oh, I can't live without this person. And they beat their chest and toss their hair and, you know, they weep. But the mark of a Christian is, yeah, there's sorrow. But you don't weep a sorrow like the heathen. You say, God knows everything. He knows what's best for me. Just please the Lord to take my loved one. And I say, Lord, thank you. And still, I will be at rest. And we want to have a good demonstration of that. Can the Lord do something in your life, brothers and sisters, and demonstrate that to others? That no matter what happens, that nothing will move you out of the peace of Christ. Oh, may God give us grace to be such a peaceful church, and that we always remain in peace with one another, that we value peace more than money. I'll tell you that. Yeah, say, Lord, your peace is more important than money for us. And may the Lord give us grace to value peace so much that you can eliminate much of unrest in your life, and let the Lord work in you. Let God's word work in you. Let faith bring rest in your heart so that you can say, Lord, I never, never, never want to move away from this wonderful place of being at rest 24 hours till the Lord comes and go quietly into the grave. Truly say, rest in peace. While I was on earth, I was resting in peace. And then finally, when they put me to the ground, I say, Lord, I'll be resting in peace forever. May the Lord give us grace and let it be a reality, brothers and sisters, not just theory. Say, Lord, I want your peace to rule my heart. That's the kingdom of God. Peace rules and reigns. And the devil's power is defeated. His power is crushed in our life. Oh, I praise the Lord for the gospel. May it become a reality, brothers and sisters. Amen. Amen.